Spirit, spirit, curious. 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 Welcome everyone to Spiritorious Podcast with me, Josefina Karlbom. Oh my god, this episode today, it's such a treasure. And I'm so, so excited and happy to be able to introduce to you all the Icelandic queen, Erla Sól. Erla is an herbalist, human design reader, energetic practitioner, coach, and guide. And oh my god, the wisdom this woman holds is, it's out of this world, really. I came in contact with Erla through Women's Sync. You know, Women's Sync, the two Swedish ladies working with hormonal balance for all women, helping us and guiding us how to best use our cycle to our advantage, really, to really live after our menstrual cycle, our moon cycle. They are amazing. And you can actually listen to an episode that me and Louise made with Sara Norbom and Susanna Moen, the women behind Women's Sync, in my previous podcast, the Jola Way podcast. And that episode was, and that interview was recorded when they first started Women's Sync. So if you want to listen to them in the beginning of their journey, please go back and listen to that episode in the Jola Way podcast. You find it where all podcasts, you know, exist. So Women's Sync, they provide like herbal infusions and teas for our hormonal balance. And Erla, she's actually the woman behind the formulations. She's helped them create the most beautiful teas and infusions. And I have been using them ever since they got released on the market, and they are amazing. I will link to these products in the show notes, and also to Women's Sync, of course. Spiritorious, 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 Spiritorious. In this episode with Erla, I was so curious to hear more about herbalism and herbs and how we can use this treasure from nature to our benefit and our health. And herbs can really be used for so much. I didn't know about this, but it can be used, you know, to balance our nervous system and our hormones. And it also can be used to relax our systems. And also, it's really good for our microbiome. She will tell us all about it, and she will also recommend certain herbs, and you don't want to miss that. We also talk about what the difference is between a tea and an infusion. She talks about tinctures, how to make all of these three teas, infusions, tinctures, and how to best make them. Is it cold water? Is it hot water? So many good questions and so many good answers to these questions. So it's a really, this episode is such a gem, because also we go into and dive deep into the topic of human design. Erla is also a really, really professional human design reader. Oh my god, I did a reading with her after we recorded this episode, and the knowledge this woman holds, it's so profound. And it's like never ending. And I recommend you to go to her website or her link tree on Instagram and subscribe to her newsletter, where she writes a lot about human design, also about herbs, of course. The texts that she writes, they are profound and it contains so much information. So go and subscribe immediately now. It's also so interesting to hear how she combines her two professions, the herbalism and human design, and all that she does. I have not really explored human design that much so far, but when I talked to Erla, I really understood the depth of the system. So we go into the different types, the personality types, and she also talks a little bit more about, You know, she goes a little bit deeper, but this is a really deep system. So if you want to learn more, I really recommend, as I said, to go and subscribe to her newsletter, where she goes so much more into detail into this profound and magical system, which is a system that you could unpack for the rest of your life, I feel. And it's really connected to gene keys, it's connected to I Ching, it's connected to astrology. Yes, I'm just so excited for you all to hear this episode. It's such a beautiful and inspirational conversation, and I have actually listened back to it several times because I wanted to learn more about the herbs and how to make the infusions. So, and I'm so inspired, you know, to just try to cut down on my coffee and to drink more teas, basically. I don't think I'm going to say that much more now. I'm just going to hand over to the conversation that I had with the beautiful soul sister, Erpla Soul. Enjoy. Welcome to Spiritorious Podcast, Erpla Soul.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you on. Oh my God, I've been following you for a while, and I'm so happy that we get to have this conversation. And I'm so happy that I will get to introduce you to my Swedish listeners. And I think many here already knows about you. Because how I found you, I thought I'd just tell that story. I found you through Women Sync, two women here in Sweden working with like the female balance, our hormonal cycle in a holistic way, basically. So that's how I found you, because you are actually their herbalist.
Yes, I am. So I am very close friends with Susanna, the one of the co-founders of Women Sync, a super beautiful, radiant soul. And I am a practicing herbalist. And what I have been working with Women Sync is I am creating all of their herbal tea formulations. Mm. So based on all of my experience with my clients over the years and my own research and my own personal herbal practice, I created a series of tea blends for all different purposes for women's health, including hormonal balance, nervous system regulation, digestive health, purification, every aspect you can think of for women's health. We created a very nourishing tea blend for. So it's been an absolute pleasure and honor to work with Women Sync.
Wonderful. And I'll link to all of those products in the show notes as well. So all of you listeners can find them. And I'll also link to Women Sync and, of course, to you, Erpla. But now let's dive in. I just want to, if you could take us back and just let us know a little bit about yourself, because you are now in Iceland.
Yes. So I am living in Iceland, in Reykjavik, in the capital. Mm-hmm. I grew up the first 6 years of my life in Iceland. I am fully Icelandic, mm-hmm. but when I was 6 years old, my parents separated and my mom ended up moving with me to Massachusetts, where Boston is on the East Coast of the United States. And we moved just outside of the city there, where my mom now is running an Icelandic horse farm. So I grew up very much in nature. She didn't actually have horses when I was super young, but when I was in my teens, she started to have the horses. Mm. But I grew up in the rural forest of Massachusetts with my mom and my stepdad and my little sister. And it's super, super beautiful there. I miss it, but I also really connect to my roots here in Iceland. The nature and the culture, the lifestyle, the creative scene, the wellness space, everything that I have here in Iceland is so precious to me, but I don't think I would have maybe appreciated it the same if I had always stayed here. So mm-hmm. I'm really grateful to have had my education and my training in herbalism and holistic psychology, and all of my studies and so many of my beautiful lived experiences were in the States. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to have lived this double life in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's just brought so many beautiful things to me. And I ended up moving back to Iceland with my husband in 2021, right after COVID. Everything was so all over the place. And we were trying to think what we wanted to do because we knew we didn't want to go back to the old life after so many things had changed. We had both been wanting to make a change. You know, after university, we both had a few years of just kind of thinking, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. And then this very transformational period for all of us really made us sit with what we really valued and what was most important to us. And that was when I started to really, really hone in on my herbalism practices, started creating my own tincture and tea formulations and sharing them with my friends and my community, and started taking clients. And it just became such a foundational time. And we're like, you know what? We want to be closer to nature. We want to be closer to a more nourishing and activating lifestyle where we're more connected to the earth, to the elements. And Iceland has always been my home. And it's just been so nourishing to come back here and just, yeah, feel really rooted here. It's been really beautiful.
Wonderful. And how did you find herbalism? How did you find those schools that you went to in the United States?
So my journey with wellness and overall well-being started from a very young age. So I was 15 when I decided to go vegetarian.
Wow.
I think just something inside me called me to just do something different. I could just see that something was not functioning properly. I'm very energetically sensitive and very empathetic and just feel a lot of sensitivities energetically to my environment, to the people around me. And that's something that I always felt kind of judged for, or maybe there was something wrong with me. So I really felt kind of like an outsider, and I felt like I really needed to listen to my own intuition. So that led me to becoming vegetarian at a very young age. And I started practicing yoga around the same time as well. And my mother is actually a yoga instructor. So I grew up with all these beautiful goddesses around me. All of her friends are just incredible healers in some way. And my mom, she's a healer. She's a yoga instructor and a equestrian horse trainer, but she does it in a very mindful and beautiful earth connected way. So everything that's good about me, I learned from my mom. So I started practicing yoga more seriously with her and also just starting to go to more classes. And I started to really feel this mind-body connection. And, you know, I was becoming vegetarian, becoming more mindful about what I was eating. And I kept just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I ended up becoming vegan when I went to university at the age of 18. I went to Leslie University and I studied holistic psychology and expressive arts therapy and dance therapy. So just everything about a holistic lifestyle on a psychological level, mindfulness, yoga therapy, nutritional therapy. I started getting deeper into all of these things and became vegan, ended up becoming raw vegan, became fruitarian, took it to the absolute extreme. And then my body was like, no, like this is not where we're supposed to be going. Let's slow down. So I started getting all these really intense symptoms. I was having acne, bloating, like uncontrollable, like fluctuations in my weight, nothing too dramatic, but just to the point where I just felt like I didn't really have any control over my body anymore because I was having all these blood sugar spikes constantly happening from all of the carbohydrates that I was having. Even though it was just like fruits and grains, it was still just way too much for me at the time. So I really started to dig deeper. And I, of course, at the same time, I was in this holistic psychology program where I began to understand that the emotional body and the spiritual body and all of these different aspects of our multi-layered self of being has such an impact on our health. And I began to kind of psychoanalyze myself a little bit and realize, okay, why did I become vegetarian in the first place? And why did I have to take it so extreme? And why did I have to go all these different ways and make it so intense. And it was because I have, you know, this really intense experience of having moved away from my home country at a very young age and being separated from my father. And there was so much like tension and family dynamics. And of course, just a lot of emotional pain that came with that. And just, yeah, one thing led to another. And all of a sudden I was on this spiritual healing journey as well, trying to understand, okay, my body is not the problem. It's the underlying emotions. So at that point, it was the nutrition, it was the psychology. And then from there, I began to realize, okay, I don't want to go back to just eating a normal standard diet. I know that's not right for me. I don't just want to be taking medication for my acne. My acne that came after all of this emotional turmoil and the extreme diet, my skin became such a powerful teacher for me because my skin would just erupt in these breakouts. And I felt like I was doing everything correctly, but energetically, there was such an imbalance because I wasn't properly addressing my emotions and I wasn't listening to my intuition and I wasn't living according to my energetic design. I was in relationships that were not aligned. I was repeating a lot of the same trauma bonds that I had in my childhood and just going down this very intense path of just following a lifestyle that was never really mine to begin with. So I ended up, you know, I finished my program in the university and got my bachelor's degree in holistic psychology. And I ended up getting a job in corporate sales as an account executive, territory manager for one of the leading supplement brands in the United States. It's an enzyme company and they sell digestive enzymes, probiotics, all these different supplements that you can take for your digestive health. And I started to really understand the power of the human microbiome, so the digestive system, and realize that our digestion is everything and that, you know, our nervous system has such an important role in our digestive health. If we're stressed, if we're overwhelmed, if you're having a panic attack or whatever it is, the nervous system that resides in your digestive system and throughout your whole body is going to affect your digestion, how you uptake nutrients and minerals and just everything in your life. So at that point, I was working very intimately with 120 independent health food stores in the Northeast US. And any listeners who may have gone to the US and gone to a health food store, you'll know it's this like classic experience, the independent health food store, the smell, the people, all the beautiful products. And I just started to feel really at home in this health food store environment. And usually in these health food stores, there's a whole wall of herbs. And I was just so drawn to the herbs and understanding my digestion, my nervous system, my emotional body, and my spiritual aspects. And that's when I started to really, really get fascinated with the herbalism because so many of my clients that I was, you know, selling the products to were also herbalists. And they'd be like, oh, that's cool that this herb is in the formula because it does this, this, this. So I decided to study herbalism with Herbal Academy, which is a program based in Massachusetts as well. And I completed that program in 2020. And I ended up leaving my corporate job at that point and started really, really focusing on my herbal practice and my tincture formulation and herbal blends, and just went on this deep dive into getting back in touch with nature. I was living in the forest at the time I moved out of the city. I was living in Boston when I was in my corporate job, and I moved back out to nature, and I would spend all of my free time foraging herbs in the nature. So I would go out into the forest and be like clipping pine needles off the trees, making an extract for my immune system, and finding different mushrooms for the immune system, and gathering flowers for the lymphatic system. And yeah. And then from there, I just went all the way with it.
Wow. Oh my God. I'm so inspired right now. I just want it to be spring and summer so I can go out and pick some herbs here. And then you went to Iceland, you went back to your roots. Have you now found your specific Icelandic herbs that you work with?
Yes. So before I moved to Iceland, just before my husband and I decided to come here, I was so deep in the foraging and the wild harvesting of indigenous plants there. And I was already starting to think ahead, okay, how can I keep doing this when I get there? And I already knew of a few herbs that I had been picking when I was a child with my grandmother and with my aunt, and just feeling this connection of like, okay, when I was at the summer house with my grandparents, we were always picking the blueberries, and we were picking the wild Arctic thyme that's good for the respiratory system. We would make tea out of it. So I had a few herbs that I was like so excited to get in touch with. But I ordered a book, Wild Medicinal Icelandic Plants. I think that's the name of it, but it's by Anna Rosa, and she's an Icelandic herbalist. And before we moved, I was just studying this book and I was reading about all of the specific time periods where you can harvest them. And I literally made a calendar for myself of like, okay, this week I'm gonna pick Angelica and this week I'm gonna do Meadowsweet. So I had this whole program of how I wanted to just make the most of our first summer there, because the harvest period here in Iceland is very brief. So it starts in the end of May, or maybe like beginning of May with some plants, and then it's pretty much done by mid-August. So I just wanted to make the most of everything. And that first summer that we were here, I picked so many herbs and I ended up creating a tincture collection just for myself. And I was sharing some with my friends as well, but I think I will end up sharing it more publicly, like maybe selling it in the future. And that I am so excited for it, to have a wild Icelandic tincture collection. That is just like my big vision for the future with my business and everything. But yeah, so that first summer I ended up creating this tincture collection. And yeah, just in case anybody doesn't know what a tincture is it's liquid extract of an herb, and you take drops of it and you put drops of it just in a little water or in a little bit of tea, and it's a very strong extract of the active compounds in the plant. So you're getting the most benefit possible from the plant. So I got
How do you
really.
make tincture?
So it's very simple in essence. It's actually an extract in alcohol. But yeah, so you will gather, I like to use fresh herbs, but you can use dry as well if you don't have access to freshly growing plants. But you put the correct ratio depending on what herb it is. Like each plant has its own specific ratio that it needs of water and alcohol. But yeah, you put just in a glass jar, you make an extract with the alcohol and a little bit of herb, and you let it steep for, I usually say about 3 moon cycles is how long I like to let it extract. And you shake it every day, you put good vibes into it, and you bless it every day. And yeah, so it's a very beautiful practice. And that's
Wonderful.
been a real treasure in my life, has been the tinctures. I love it.
Okay, so my God, I have so many questions, but it's so beautiful, and I think it's, I mean, I love this back to nature thing, and to live more in accordance to nature and to nature's cycles as well, and to really connect to nature. And I feel that if all of the herbs, when you take when you drink a tea or like an infusion or tincture, it's like a connection to nature, and it's like getting a little bit of nature into our body and our soul and all of our bodies, basically the spiritual body, the energetic body. So when you pick herbs, you said that when you make a tincture, you actually use fresh herbs. But do you also then for teas and for like infusions, then you dry the herbs, right?
Yes. So for a tea, it is much better just for taste and for efficiency. It does come out much better if you're using dried herbs, but you can use fresh herbs. You just maybe won't get as much of a flavor or as much of an effect.
Okay. And how do you dry the herbs? When you pick, you go out, you pick them, and do you then hang them in specific, or how do you
Yeah,
do it?
it depends on which plant it is. So if it's something that has a long stem and you're taking some of the stem, you can tie the ends and you can hang it. Or you can have a drying rack, which is what I've used a lot. It's just like a wooden box with a mesh net, and then you lay the herbs on that and you can stack them on top of each other. And then the way that I do just for my personal blends, just kind of on like a quick basis, is I will get a clean sheet and I will just lay it on a table or on the floor or on a surface where like there's nobody walking around. And I will just lay a sheet down and I will put the herbs on that. And within 24 hours, it will usually be perfectly dry.
Oh, this is so inspiring. And okay, so, and then we've talked about a tincture. And can you also tell us about what's the difference between an infusion and tea?
Yes. Okay. This is a really, really good question, because I think maybe some people are like, why isn't she just call it tea? You know, because infusion sounds so fancy. It's like, what are they talking about infusion? But there is actually a very big difference between an herbal infusion and a herbal tea. So herbal tea is traditionally referring to the tea plant, Camellia sinensis, which is black tea or green tea or white tea or more of these traditional teas. But then, of course, we have moved on to herbal tea as well. And that is oftentimes leaves and flowers, roots, berries. But the intention for a herbal tea is for it to just be a nice beverage to drink that maybe has some calming effects on the nervous system, but it's not this medicinal, potent healing property that the herbal infusions have. So an herbal infusion is also a type of tea, but it's much stronger. So when you are making an herbal infusion, you will typically use more of the herb and you'll infuse it for at least an hour. When I make an herbal infusion, I will put about a tablespoon of each herb that I'm using into a liter of hot water, and I will let it infuse anywhere from an hour up to 24 hours.
Is it boiling water or is it just hot water?
So you bring it to a boil and then just let it sit for maybe like 5 minutes so that it's not like bubbling when you pour it over. But yeah, and it's interesting because there's some herbs that really do well with cold water. And there's some herbs that you shouldn't even put like too hot water as well, because you might damage some of the vitamin C. But herbs like rose, hibiscus, marshmallow, rose hip, like these are herbs that have a lot of vitamin C, or they have a mucilaginous property, which is this like slippery, slimy material that will only come out when it is in cold water. And you'll really be able to feel the difference when you put it in cold water overnight and then you drink it, because you'll feel this very moistening, hydrating effect come down through your throat, down to the digestive tract, and all the way down, helping you to have more of a hydrated and moist body.
Wow, that's so interesting. I'm actually drinking an hibiscus tea right now.
Nice.
So, and it's only hibiscus. So I'm going to try to do that in cold water.
Oh my God, I would definitely recommend.
Yeah.
It's so nice to do it in cold water too, because the hibiscus, it's so healthy. It's so nourishing. It has so much vitamin C. It's great for your skin, for your immune system, for your cardiovascular system. But we're actually ruining the vitamin C by pouring boiling water on it. And it actually tastes so much better if you put cold water on it.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just going to try.
Yeah.
It
becomes
when you do sour. Yeah, so some infusions you do, for example, say that you put them overnight, so then you can do them in all cold water. And then some infusions you take, you boil water and then you put it in, and then you just let it stand in the cold water, no, in the hot water.
Yeah, you can just leave it out on the counter overnight, or if you're concerned about, you know, the safety of that, you could just throw it in the fridge and you can drink it cold.
Okay.
It's so nice. You can maybe put some coconut water with it, or some lemon or sparkling water, and you can make a really, really nice like mocktail with it.
Yeah.
It's so nice. I'm drinking herbs all day long. Like
wonderful. And I'm going to experiment here at home.
Yeah. And if you need any inspiration for recipes for herbal blends, or if you're like wondering what to use for the temperature or what goes well together, you can just send me a message. Anybody who's listening, or you, I would love to help you create a blend for you.
Oh my God, thank you so much. And I think you can also sign up to your newsletter. You're writing a lot about that. And you also have in your link tree on Instagram, you can also find some tips, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there's links to all of the products that I have created for Women's Inc. And you can read all about those herbal formulations. And they're incredible, all of them, for cold infusion or overnight infusion. And I also have a lot of recipes and herbal inspiration on my Instagram or on my blog, which is Substack. So it's erla.substack.com. And that's also just like in my bio. But yes, I really, my mission is to get people excited about herbs because I think it's such an underrated practice, especially just for nourishing and strengthening the body. They are so rich in minerals, and minerals are the precursors to enzymes, and enzymes dictate every single function in the human body. And when we are stressed, when we're overwhelmed, maybe we have some inflammation in the body, or just, you know, aging, our enzyme production starts to go down. So when we are, you know, undergoing stress, or we're aging, or we're feeling like out of balance in some way, it's so incredible to be able to lean on the earth through the herbal infusions to support us through times of difficulty, or times where maybe not getting enough sunlight, or whatever it is, because you need enzymes to produce hormones, to go to sleep, to digest your food, to do everything that your body needs to do in order to survive. So just getting in minerals is so important, especially if you're exercising or going in the sauna, or if you're, you know, just living a really busy lifestyle. Just getting in the proper nutrition is everything. Mm.
Do you have any other favorite herbs that you can talk a little bit about and just give us some tips?
Yes. Okay. The herb that I use the most in my personal practice and that I recommend to my clients the most is stinging nettle, the nettles. Yep. So they are, in my book, they are the number one superfoods. They are incredibly rich in very bioavailable iron and every single amino acid and fatty acids and so many different vitamins, like even vitamin K, vitamin A, vitamin C. And it's this perfect multivitamin, really. And the best way to take it is to make an overnight infusion. You can make nettle tea and it might be this like yellow green color, but when you make an overnight infusion, it's unbelievable. It's almost black.
Wow.
Because it's all the minerals, it's the iron, it's the vitamins, it's all this really, really potent nutrient tonic that you can drink every day. And it actually tastes really good. It almost tastes like milk. Mm. It sounds really strange, but it actually has kind of a similar nutrient profile as milk.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's like my nettle mineral milk. Yeah.
But how do you do that infusion? Do you do that in cold water or hot water?
I do that in hot water.
Hot water. Okay. Yep. And do you keep it hot over the night or no?
No, you can if you want to have it simmering on the stove. But what I do is I just put a tablespoon of the nettle into a glass heat safe jar. Mm-hmm. And then I pour the hot water over it. I stir it. I put the lid on and then I just let it stand. And then maybe after a while, I'll put it in the fridge and I would drink it the next day, just like I'm drinking water.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's also very purifying for the liver and for the kidneys. Mm. So if you're getting chronic urinary tract infections, or if you're dealing with any bloating or water retention or a sluggish lymphatic system, it's really, really powerful. I would definitely recommend.
Oh, wow. I'm going to start with that immediately. I actually have some nettle here at home. So I'm going to start doing an infusion with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And do you have any other herbs that you want to mention?
So many. I could talk about
individual
herbs forever. But okay, this is another very nutrient-rich herb. It's called clivers. The Latin name is Gallium Aperine. Maybe that would help better if you're in Sweden. But clivers, C-L-E-A-V-E-R-S, clivers.
Mm-hmm.
And This is incredibly purifying for the lymphatic system. So if you are maybe doing a cleanse, or you're trying to eat healthier, or you're trying to maybe get rid of some toxins from your body, this is a really, really great way to support the purification of the lymphatic system and through the kidneys as well. And it tastes really, really nice. It's very grassy, very earthy, and very warming. I definitely recommend Cleavers for anybody who's trying to just get in a little bit of a cleanse, especially in the winter. It's nice to just get our fluids and our circulation moving.
Yes.
And then just the power of chamomile tea is unbelievable. I kind of had this revelation this year because I've been on this herbal journey for almost 10 years, and I'm just constantly trying all these different herbs and trying ones that I've never tried before. But for me, I had this revelation of like, wait, chamomile tea is unbelievable. Everybody has drank chamomile tea. We all know it. We all, you know, can think of that taste and that familiar smell.
Yes.
I mean, to me, it reminds me of my grandmother is like drinking
yes,
chamomile tea with some honey.
Yeah,
it's
same here.
It's so nostalgic. And yeah. I started drinking chamomile tea again. It is so powerful for relaxing the nervous system, but also for your digestion, because it relaxes and strengthens the nervous system in your digestive system.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're having any digestive problems, it could be because there's nervous tension in the nervous system in your digestive tract that could be holding in a lot of waste and just energy and material that needs to be released. So chamomile tea is incredible, not only for your mood and for your sleep, but also just for your digestion. I really recommend the return to chamomile tea.
Wow. The return of the chamomile tea is here.
Yeah. Yeah. She's making a comeback.
It's making a comeback.
Yeah. At least for me, maybe some people drink it every day, but chamomile tea. And then, okay. Mm-hmm. One more for the nervous system and the digestive system is tulsi, holy basil.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Ayurvedic herb, and it's part of the mint family. It's a version of basil, but it has almost this blueberry lavender smell to it, and it is so delicious, and it is an adaptogen. Mm-hmm. So it helps your body to adapt to stress levels. So it helps to regulate the cortisol response in the body so that you're having a more regulated reaction to things that happen day to day. And also just so that you're not just constantly on this roller coaster of stress. So I really recommend holy basil as well.
That sounds really great. And can I ask you, do you drink coffee ever?
So I do drink coffee, and it's been kind of an interesting journey. You know, there was a time in my life, definitely during university, where I was drinking like 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day. And it's this very American culture to have a big iced coffee.
Yeah.
It's way more coffee than anybody should ever drink. And, you know, having that with like oat milk and sugar and blah, blah, blah. It was like, that was kind of like a dark, dark period for
yeah.
me. Drinking so much coffee.
The dark coffee period.
Yeah, where you're having so much of it. And yeah. For me, I think that coffee should be drank ceremonially. So similar in the way that maybe you would drink ceremonial cacao, I think the way that you should be drinking coffee is very mindfully and intentionally, and not as a drug, but as a beautiful act of intentional energy and activation. So I do drink coffee in the morning, but after I've had breakfast, and I'm not drinking it while I'm working or while I'm running out the door, I have a moment with myself, and I'm sitting, listening to the astrology update for the day, and journaling and stretching, just on my yoga mat, listening to whatever's happening in the cosmic weather that day, and just having a moment. So that's how I think coffee can be drank if it is good for you. But there are some people who definitely are more sensitive. Mm-hmm. And if your body is having a lot of stress or anxiety, if your digestion is too active, like you know, just having too much digestive concerns, or if you're constantly like you can't control your bladder, that could also be a sign that the coffee is way too strong for you. So maybe just drink like a third of a cup and have the rest be a nice coconut milk or something, you know? So I think it just mindful coffee consumption, I think, is okay if your body can handle it. But there have definitely been times where my body cannot handle it. And I've taken like years off, or maybe just like a month or 2 months off. And I think that when you start to feel like, okay, coffee is no longer serving me, you'll know. And then that's a really important point for you to pivot and be like, okay, we're not doing this right now. And then maybe you can drink just green tea or matcha or cacao, or just skip caffeine altogether. Because I think it's just so important to be radically honest with ourselves about what is working in our diet and our lifestyle, and not just pretend that what we're used to and that what we're always doing is just going to work for us all the time. You know, we have different seasons in life and different phases where maybe we need to eat differently. Maybe we need to, you know, be more plant-based or be less plant-based, or maybe we need to have more or less caffeine. There's just so much change that happens in our lives. And I think even just month to month, we're living a different life sometimes. So,
Definitely.
yeah, just to be radically honest with ourselves about our caffeine intake is so important. Yeah, and I just think maybe having a scheduled break, maybe one or two times a year, where you're just like, okay, week off, let's go, I think is really powerful.
Yeah, that's the same. I actually usually do that. I take a bit, maybe a couple of months off, or last year I took a half year off coffee. And I'm thinking right now I'm actually going to do that kind of break again, because sometimes I can deal with coffee really good. My body is everything is, you know, like my body is out of stress. For example, in the summer, it works really, really well. But when you have a lot of things going on, if it's a lot of work, a lot of stress, then I just try to cut down the coffee. So that's how I work. But everybody, as you say, you have to get to know your own body. Good, what works for me might not work for anybody else. So it's all about that as well. Just to get to know your own body, and as you say, be honest. How do you really feel about
Yeah,
it?
exactly. We might have some idea about what we want our lifestyle to look and feel like, but sometimes we just have to kind of take inventory. And for me, having a meditation practice is really important for this, because when I am sitting in stillness, this is oftentimes when I'm getting, you know, the most important downloads or realizations or activations, or this feeling of, okay, this is what needs to change. And then I'll be like writing something down, and then, okay, back to my meditation. You know what I mean? Just to have some space in your day where you're not constantly being stimulated by music or voices or people, whatever it is. I just think it's so important to have some quiet and peace life in that way.
And I mean, while we are talking about that, I know that you have a spiritual practice, and that I love that how you said that you are following the cosmic weather. I love that, because I'm doing that as well. And so I'm so excited about just talking a little bit about human design as well, because I know that you connect. I mean, everything that you do is connected, and you do this, you work with herbs, but you also work with human design, for example.
So I have always had this very deep fascination with energetics and with astrology, and with the nature of the soul. So when I was studying holistic psychology in university, I had had this background of yoga, and having grown up as a very sensitive child and feeling very affected by subtle energies, and just having this kind of like hyper awareness of the energy of the people around me. And I think part of the reason I was so drawn to psychology was because I'm so fascinated with people and what people are doing, what people are up to. For a while, when I was younger, I was always watching vlogs on YouTube, and I didn't really understand why until now. I would kind of make fun of myself, being like, why do I care what these influencers are doing and why they're living their lives in the way that they are? But now it makes sense. It's because I'm just fascinated with people. and what other people are doing and why they behave in the way that they do and why do we make the decisions that we do. And, you know, we're all so incredibly different physically, emotionally, spiritually, in so many ways. And I think yoga really helped me to understand this part of humanity and who we are. And it just became this really intense fascination of how we're all so individual on a soul level. So I started working at a meditation center in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Inner Space, as part of the Brahma Kumaris Foundation, which is a Raja Yoga Foundation. And it's all rooted in the foundation of the soul and reincarnation and karma. And I really started to feel like, okay, I get this. It just felt like when the teacher that I was working with, when she was having the one-on-ones with me, teaching me about the lineage, I just felt like she was telling me something that I already knew deep down. I was like, yeah, this is just how it is. We come here, we are incarnated into this lifetime with a very specific, unique purpose. It's all predestined. Everything is written out in the stars, and it's all written out in our energetic body, in our aura, because from the perspective of astrology and human design, the mechanics of the energy in our energetic body, in our aura, is all imprinted based on the information of the stars, the moment that we were born and the moment where our soul incarnated into the body. And when I started to learn about this through the Raja Yoga perspective and through the lens of astrology, I really just had this full body sensation of, ah, okay, I get this. I really, really get it. And I started getting interested in the Michael teachings as well. Are you familiar with the Michael teachings at all?
I've heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really beautiful. So it's this framework that helps us to understand the psychology of the soul. And from, you know, before I got into the Michael teachings, I was studying holistic psychology and I thought, soul psychology, you know, what, how can we think about the psychology of the soul? And then in comes the Michael teachings, which is all about, you know, reincarnation and soul purpose and how each one of us is on a specific timeline to fulfill our soul's destiny and how we, you know, have different levels of soul incarnation based in our karma from past lives. And this is something that I am so fascinated by. And you know, whether there's truth to it or not, I'm not sure. But for me, it just feels so beautiful because the depth of this knowledge and how much beauty and meaning it brings to life has just been so profound. And I also became very interested in the Akashic Records and started meeting with channelers who were interested in the Akashic Records. And I was starting to study that a little bit as well. And then I was introduced to human design, which is a combination of Eastern and Western astrology, Vedic yogic philosophy, the I Ching, Kabbalah, and also quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and astronomy. So it's this blend of science and spirituality, which is something that, you know, from my herbalism and psychology background, and then coming in with Raja Yoga meditation and the Michael teachings and the Akashic Records, this came together in such a beautiful way of, okay, this is the psychology of the soul. And it is the science of differentiation that helps us to understand that we are all incredibly different and that our energetic body is intricately woven into a specific purpose so that each lifetime is very, very profound. Each lifetime, each individual human being is here with a specific role in the evolution of humanity, in the facilitation of the global shift and elevation of human consciousness so that we can live in more harmony, live with more intention, more mindfulness, greater ease and grace to really live the purpose of who we came here to be. So human design has just really illuminated everything for me. So now my practice is rooted in human design, and then I integrate herbalism into my practice as well. So I'm taking clients for human design readings. I am a certified human design analyst. So that is my main thing now. And yeah, I'm super excited by human design. I could talk about it forever, but it's just incredible. If you don't know your chart, I really, really recommend you go to myhumandesign.com and just check out your energy type, and you can send me a message and I'll send you some information about your type.
Thank you so much. And yes, and please do that. Please press pause and just check your human design right now before, because I'm just thinking, do you have time to just quickly go through the different types and just a little bit? I mean, I know it's huge, and I mean, it's difficult to talk about that in just a few moments, but so everyone press pause, check your human design, and then just press play again.
Spiritorius. There's five different kinds. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have your chart pulled up, so we could even do like a mini, mm-hmm. I can tell you just a little bit about you if you like.
Yeah, sure. But,
so we'll just start with the five different types. So there are generators, manifesting generators, manifestors, reflectors, and projectors. Mm. So the generators, which is what you and I are, we're both the same type. Generators, they have a very open and enveloping aura, and they are here to generate life force energy for other people when we're doing what we love. So generators have a defined sacral center, which is the energetic center in the body that is constantly in conversation with the universe, receiving and integrating life force energy, receiving prana. And we have constant access to this when we're in connection to our true desires and we follow what we really love and what we're lit up and excited by. So for a generator, it's all about saying yes to what really lights you up, and to saying no to what doesn't give you energy. Because if it's taking energy away from you, you're going out of your purpose and you're no longer going to have this energy to share with others. So you have this like bubbling, sparkling, juicy energy when you are in alignment, and it will draw the right people to you. You'll become really magnetic to the right opportunities, the right people, the right opportunities, and all the beautiful experiences that you want to have. When you have your open aura in alignment, you're going to become so much more magnetic to that, and your aura will overflow with energy that other people will be able to feel and be energized by just by being around you, because they'll just be able to feel this beautiful radiance oozing off of you, and they'll just want to be like, oh my God, I'm so inspired to do what I love. And then just has this chain reaction through the rest of society. So that is generators. And then we have manifesting generators, which they have a defined throat center and a defined sacral. So everything that I just said about the generator applies to the manifesting generator. You know, you have this open, enveloping, life-giving energy, but then you also have this manifesting aspect, which comes from the manifestor, which I'll talk about next. But this aspect of you means that you have some really strong ideas and visions that you want to bring into the world. And this lifetime is all about you just going for it. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't finish it, even if you jump from one project to the next, it's more about you just starting the fire, just about you getting your movement into action and bringing it into the world, because other people will be magnetized towards that and they will all benefit from your movement. And then we have the manifestors. And manifestors are incredibly powerful leaders. They have a very strong voice and strong ideas to bring a movement into action, but they don't have the same consistent access to the life force energy that the generators and the manifesting generators have. So they have to have the right team of people around them to support them and help them to carry their vision into the world. Mm. So part of the manifestor's extreme power is in their ability to lead and to communicate and to express their ideas with the world in a way that is really, really powerful and life-changing for the people that come in contact with them. Whether it be on a professional or on a personal level, they have something that they're really here to change. And then we have projectors. The projectors are the seers, the innovators, the teachers. And the projectors, they have something that they can see so clearly that can be done better, or that can be changed, or some area where we can have better innovation in society to have more success. So projectors are really, really intelligent, like super advanced minds that have a way of teaching and sharing information and innovation with the world. And there's starting to be more and more projectors in the world as we start shift. Yeah. So there's coming more and more of them. And that's amazing because you really need them right now more than ever.
Interesting. Because isn't it so that the generators are, that's the most common like modality or energy, the generator energy.
The manifesting generator is the most common, and then the generator, then the projector, then the manifester, and then the reflector. And the reflector is the most rare type. And these are people that have a completely open aura. So they are here just sampling and tasting and just testing out all the different energies of life. And they're here to be in awe and amazed by all the different beautiful aspects of life that they can connect with. And they are reflecting and mirroring back to us and to society the state of who we really are. So when you're around a reflector, you'll actually be able to see yourself even deeper because they are reflecting back to you the truth of who you really are. Even if it's just totally subconscious, you'll be able to really feel that they're bringing out the best or the worst in you.
Interesting. So is there anything else? I mean, there are a lot of things that you look at. So these are like the main types. And then I know that you look at so much else, but if you just like shortly, is there something else you would like to mention when you look at a, like a human design chart?
Yes. So you, when you, I don't know if maybe you have pulled up your chart by now and maybe you're looking at it and you can see that there's all these little lines and boxes and squares and things that are colored in. And all these little lines that are coming off of the energy centers, these are your gifts. And these are all coming from the 64 hexagrams of the I Ching, which is the ancient Chinese divination text that understands the various different states of human consciousness. And they're all really beautiful aspects of what it means to be human. And when they come together and they connect, they create an energetic channel that ends up creating an electromagnetic field that then connects your energy centers to each other and creates definition in your aura that creates the essence of who you are. And one of the main things that this illuminates is your authority, which is your inner mode of understanding your intuition. So there's several different types of intuition. You know, sometimes you might hear the phrase, listen to your gut, or sleep on it, or follow your instincts, or weigh the pros and cons. And these are all different types of authority. They're all different ways to access your intuition.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is, you know, something that is really, really amazing to look at when you're making a decision or when you're trying to figure out your next steps in life, or if you're just trying to think about, you know, what do I really value? What's really important to me? So to get familiar with your inner authority really enhances your intuitive capabilities and your gifts, so that you can be more in tune with who you really are and who you came here to be. So I'll just give you like a little information about your chart. We're actually so similar. I'm looking at your chart and I'm like, we have so many similar, we have very similar profiles, similar energy type and similar definition. And we have the same emotional authority. So our intuition comes through our emotions. So you have what's called an emotional wave, and it has a high point and it has a low point and it has a middle point. And maybe one day you'll wake up and you'll be like, oh, it's an amazing day. I feel amazing. My life is so good. And then maybe a couple of days later, you'll wake up like, oh, I don't know about all this. Like, what is this? What's going on? I don't know. And you might just feel really sad, and you, maybe your mind will start to overthink and you might be overanalyzing and thinking, okay, maybe I need to change my career. Maybe I need to go see a therapist. Maybe I need to, you know, get some help, whatever it is. But maybe, just maybe, you're in your emotional low point and there could be some really beautiful golden nugget of intelligence, of intuition, of a new state of awareness that is coming to you in that moment. And same with in the high, you could be getting some beautiful intuitive hit coming to you when you're in your high and you're driving down the road and it's a full moon and you look, oh, it's a full moon. It's so beautiful. And that's you and your emotional high. And then you might realize, wow, I should go, you know, be by the ocean more. You might have some insight or some intuitive connection that comes to you when you're in your emotional state. But this also means that when you're making a decision, that you're not making a decision from the high or the low, but rather that you wait until you get back to a state of balance, to your homeostasis middle ground, so that you're not making any irrational, rash decisions that might, you know, you might regret later. So the best thing that we can do with emotional authority is to say, hey, you know, thank you for the invite. Let me get back to you tomorrow. Or thank you. Just a moment. Let me think about it. And you'll really thank yourself if you wait a little bit. And I also think that you just become so much more magnetic and so much more beautiful when you own this part of yourself. Because you just come off and you embody so much more emotional intelligence when you do this. So if you tell somebody, oh, thank you for the invite, let me get back to you, they'll be like, oh, cool. Like, she's really honoring her inner code. That's amazing. So I think that that is really the new paradigm of where we're heading in society, is to be in this place where you can listen to your needs. Like, isn't that the society that we all want to be a part of?
Yes,
where people can just decide in their own way.
Definitely. Oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. The authority is everything.
Okay, that's really interesting, I feel. So can you mention what kind of authorities are there? How many different kinds of authorities are there?
There's around 8 different authorities.
Okay.
And you can have any different type of authority depending on if you're a manifesting generator or a generator or a projector manifester. But the reflectors, they have a completely unique authority, and that is lunar authority, because astrologically they are so impacted in their energetic body, in their aura, from all the astrological transits that are happening all day, every day, that, you know, one day they might feel like a generator, one day they might feel like a manifester. So they have to really give themselves time to really think about what they want to do and who they really are, and make sure to be constantly clearing out their energy field, maybe doing a body scan or taking a bath or taking some extra alone time to really get clear on what their own energy feels like, to make sure that they're not taking on too much external energy. And ideally, if it is something that is a bigger decision, like say if you are deciding to move to a new apartment, or you're going to maybe change your diet completely, or maybe you're going to go, maybe you're going to commit to a new relationship with a new partner, or maybe move in with a partner, you would really want to give yourself 28 days, the full lunar cycle, so that you can fully feel from every potential astrological, energetic potential angle, how it would feel in your body if you were to decide that or not. And oftentimes reflectors will feel these little nudges. Just sometimes, you know, there might be like one type of car that keeps coming to mind, or they keep seeing this one car drive by and they're trying to decide what car to buy. And maybe it's like, okay, I've now seen this car 10 times throughout this month. Okay, I'm going to get that one. You know, like the reflectors will be really perceptive to all the different options available to them, and they'll just kind of be nudged by the universe for the things that are meant for them.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So, and how do you work today then? If you are combining all of these systems together, like your herbalism, you work with human design. So if one of the listeners come to you, how do you approach them and how do you work?
Yeah. So I am offering human design readings, which is where we do a deep dive of your chart. And we will look at your energy type, your definition, your profile, which is the closest thing we have to a personality type. It's like the costume that you wear in this lifetime. We look at your authority and the mechanics of how you can make decisions and move forward in life according to your intuition. We will look at your strategy, which is how you're meant to take action in the world. We'll look at your not self theme, which is the sign that you're heading in the wrong direction. So we'll help you to understand where it is that you maybe you're falling off track. And we'll look at all your most important gifts, the different lines in your chart that inform your soul purpose and what your soul really incarnated to do in this lifetime. So we'll look at that. And then oftentimes what we'll be able to see is that there's some physical imbalance that is coming through some type of imbalance. Maybe it's a projector that isn't able to sleep. So, okay, let's create a tincture, or let's, you know, create an herbal formula for you that's going to help you sleep better. Because as a projector, you need to sleep more than anybody else. The projectors need their rest. They're not meant to be working all the time. They're meant to be doing really efficient, focused innovation. And then they take a break and they just enjoy life.
And my husband is a projector.
Interesting. So yeah. So you can kind of see this dynamic of it's like, and it's, and then we're just, we need to just chill, you know. My husband is a projector too, and he plays video games. And I used to never really understand, like, okay, why are you playing video games? But now I understand he just needs to have something that he does that's just for him to unplug.
Exactly.
Now I'm like, oh, wait, did you play your video games, honey? And he's like, Whereas before I didn't really understand, and I would just kind of be like, why aren't you hanging out with me, you know? But now it's so powerful to understand that. So we can use herbs and tincture formulation for specific things that come up. Or for example, a manifesting generator that's having a problem bringing their ideas into the world. Maybe they're having some hormonal imbalance and they're tired all the time. And the thyroid gland is actually connected to the throat energy center. So maybe we need to work with some thyroid supporting herbs to help you to balance your hormones so that you can have more stable energy levels to help you to catapult you into the right direction with what you want to do. Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is so interesting. Oh, I would love to talk to you all day.
I know. This is so beautiful.
So many more questions. But is there something, I mean, we've been talking for over an hour but is there something else that you want to mention before we end the conversation that we haven't talked about?
Well, I just would like to mention that, you know, I am offering these human design readings, and that is the core of my work. And I am so excited about it and would love to, you know, offer readings to anyone who feels connected to this work. And what I'm also super excited about is I'm opening up my herbal consultation practice for the first time in quite some time, because I've been so focused on the soul psychology that I kind of put the herbal practice to the side outside of my, you know, professional formulation with Women's Inc. So I am available for 45-minute herbal consultations on a case-by-case basis. And you can find the booking for that in my bio as well. And then also, if you have had a human design reading with me before, I'm offering grace sessions. And the grace sessions are basically integration sessions for your human design. So you've learned all about your chart, but you want to understand better how you can apply your authority and your incarnation cross, which is your life purpose, or your profile, or your energy type, or your strategy. You want to understand better how to apply it to maybe a certain problem you're having in life, or you're having a relationship concern, or you're trying to change careers. This is my coaching container for people who are wanting to use human design to work on some specific area in their life, nutritionally, professionally, personally, transpersonally. So this is something that I'm really, really excited about. And if maybe I am open to having grace sessions, if you haven't had a reading with me before, if you are already really familiar with your chart and you feel like you don't really need a reading, but you want to just, you know, work with human design to understand your life dynamics a little bit better.
Oh, thank you so much, Ethla. It's been such a blessing to have you on the podcast, and I feel so inspired, and I'm definitely going to do a reading with you after.
Yes.
Because I've never done a human design reading before, but I'm so curious about it. I just want to learn more, and I'll see you. I'll definitely.
Yes.
I want to do a reading with you so I can get my whole chart and just try to understand it more. That will be so exciting.
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun, and you're such a beautiful soul. It's a pleasure to connect with you.
Thank you. I feel totally the same. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and sharing so much of your beautiful wisdom. And I just had a final question. Do you have any book that you would like to recommend? I know you mentioned one book about herbalism, the Icelandic book. Do you have any other book that people could, if they want to, you know, start learning more about herbalism and how to use herbs, do you have any tips for books?
Yes. The number one book that I recommend to anybody looking to get into herbalism is Body into Balance by Maria Noel Groves. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful. It has images. It's filled with photos. It's very easy to understand, but it's also very science-based and just absolutely incredible. So that is herbalism book, definitely recommends. And then for human design, I recommend Human Design by Jenna Zoe. She's one of my human design teachers. She also has a podcast called the Human Design Podcast. I definitely recommend her as well.
Thank you so much. And can you please also just mention one more time where people can find you on Instagram and your website and everything so they can really find you?
Thank you. So my Instagram is ERLA and then 2_SOL. So Ertla_SOL. And then my website is Ertlasol, ERLASOL.earth. And you can find my blog and all of my offerings and my booking page on there.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. And I'll put links in the show notes as well to all of your, to your Instagram and to your webpage, of course. So thank you so much. And I look so much forward to seeing you soon again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Spiritoria.